Hey there, welcome to The Butter Dish. I'm Heidi Ballard.
And I'm Natalie Delaney.
And today we're talking about how do you know if your goals are realistic?
We get this question a lot. Surprisingly, so much that I'm also, sometimes I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, it's a really great question. Because right? Of course, realistic, I mean, there's the things we desire and the things we want. Mm-hmm. And there's also just like in the context of your life, like how much can you really accomplish?
Totally.
Like I would really, really love a PhD, but that would require me to actually like finish college first. So well, I don't know how realistic it is for me.
Yeah.
Do you have a PhD, right?
Well, absolutely. And we are always like low-key excited when we get this question because there's not asking it can be way more problematic. So where do we start, Natalie Delaney?
So we've broken it down into three different ways to kind of assess whether or not your goals are realistic. So just hang out with us. So let's start with the very first one, and that is timeline. Mm. Now, believe it or not, timeline isn't as fast as possible. I know we're in a very, you know,
have it now,
instant gratification. Love me some Amazon Prime. You know, it's like, what does a Ronnie Chang say? Like, give it to me yesterday, or like, give me what I need before I even ask for it.
That's right. Kind of before thing. I even know I want it.
Right. Like have it delivered to me. But unfortunately, the results that we're talking about are the goals that are most commonly asked for in our sphere are not exactly like get it right away.
List. Absolutely. They're actually adaptations, which if you just think about that word for a second, it's not a super fast word.
So let's talk timeline in regards to a couple different goals that are pretty commonplace. Okay. So mm-hmm. let's just start with like weight loss goal, for yeah. example, pretty common one. Everybody's had one. Definitely the rhetoric out there in the fitness space is like, there's a belief that you can do it in 30 days. Mm-hmm. Lose like, my favorite is like the Shark Tank one that I get emails sometimes, lose 51 pounds in 16 days. And I'm like, 51 and 16. They're such like, I mean, you know me, I love a random microwave number. I do admittedly keep my things with weird numbers. Like it's not like a minute and 30 seconds. It's like a minute and 26, which is probably why I get these emails.
Yeah. But anybody that's overheated a Krispy Kreme donut knows there's a magic in doing it for 7 seconds, not what? 10, not five, seven.
Wait, seven?
Yeah.
See, look at us.
This is what I'm saying.
So much value already and only in the first like 5 minutes.
Of course, it maybe all depends about your personal microwave, which is sort of exactly what we're talking about.
Right. Or how you like your Krispy Kreme.
Ah, whoa.
Okay. So obviously this is another podcast. Well, let's talk timeline. So obviously you want to be able to give yourself enough of some space to be able to create some habits and create some change as well as to garner yourself some results. But at the same time, saying I'm just going to lose weight until I lose the weight can be really defeating and really unproductive.
Yeah.
It's like, let's just say, for instance, you have a very arbitrary goal of 25 pounds and you're like, well, I'm just going to keep cutting until I lose those 25 pounds. Well, comes into play. It's like, first of all, do you even need to lose 25 pounds? And second of all, like how productive does that feel to just say like, for instance, just clean till your house is clean? Because we all know that there's going to be, I mean, first of all, a standard to clean is one thing. And then also like, when is it really clean? Like we all know the con of laundry.
Oh,
is the second you do laundry, there's more laundry.
Well, totally. And depending on who you're talking to, some people even iron their sheets. Don't even get me started.
What?
I know. I just, but to your point, the finish line is not only subjective. If you're not clear on a timeline for yourself, it's easy to just keep pushing that finish line out further and further and further. So we always encourage clients to set a finite timeline. You can always pivot. You can always adjust as time goes on. But this whole idea of like cutting until you feel better or
cutting because I committed to 6 weeks and it's week five and I'm feeling horrible and terrible, but I said 7 weeks or I said, you know,
right,
whatever it is. Like you're not allowing for the reality of life. And I think part of having realistic goals is also being steeped in reality a little bit too.
Totally.
And so for instance, like, let's just, you know, to go along with weight loss, what we would like you to do is we look at your calendar and see what is a realistic time for me to cut. And believe it or not, it's not 365 days a year. Mm-hmm. You are going to have windows that are way more feasible for you to get into a routine and some habits and arguably a more boring time mm-hmm. in your schedule than it is a very exciting happening time. You know, Heidi says it all the time. Cutting is not an add-on habit. We don't take, 6-week vacation is the time not to start one, you know, or like you're moving, you're remodeling your kitchen. You're not, you don't, you know, you're going through like a crazy restructuring at work. You're getting a divorce. Your kid's in the hospital. Like your mother is sick. Like that's not really a window where you're like, it sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. Although it, because a lot of times restricting food is a maladaption to those stresses, that sometimes women go to it because they perceive it's something that they can control or something like that. But you don't realize that cutting calories comes with a whole host of negative physical symptoms that are going to amplify the stress you're experiencing in all of those different areas. So it's as if you are already bleeding from somewhere and you decide I'm going to just cut myself somewhere else just to like distract myself from the pain that I'm originally feeling. Like this is not something that's self-supportive or helpful or going to give you better results in any way.
And the irony with timelines is that it's probably most of your goals are going to take longer than you anticipate. Kind of like how when you set your GPS and you're like, oh, it's only 15 minutes away, but you forgot that you have to shower first or maybe, you know, pick an outfit or drop something off at the post office before you actually get on the road to your destination, right? And then also traffic on the way home, stopping off and getting, you know, a nice cold soda at the gas station or actually filling your tank with gas. What we're saying is that sometimes how realistic our goals are is more about looking at like what the reality is versus it just like our desires.
Totally. And that there's, that it is one thing to set forth like a perfect plan when you're motivated and rested and anybody can come up with like an amazing to-do list, but don't forget that you have to do the things when you're not feeling amazing, when you're feeling tired, when you're feeling unmotivated. Like this is why we want you to put the bar of your goals at a place that feels realistic. You can always raise that bar over time, but like let's go through some habits that are conducive to a cut that we'd like to see our clients have in place before they even attempt a deficit.
So definitely off the top of my head, it would be sleep.
Right.
First and foremost, sleep is the king of all things, whether you're pursuing weight loss, you're in a maintenance phase, you're trying to build muscle mass, or just reduce your amount of stress. Sleep is going to be king. So if you are somebody who doesn't have a very consistent bedtime, likes to stay up really late, but has to wake up early, doesn't just naturally sleep well, like you average anywhere from 4 to 6, this is something we definitely want you to get underneath your belt as best you can. Mm-hmm. You know, all things considered, like I know some of us have really perfect sleep environments.
I know we're willing.
but sleep is really, you know, one of the biggest anchors in any kind of realistic goal is how much rest you're giving yourself, whether it's rest between sets, when you're exercising, rest so that you can repair and build and recover, or actually just like taking a break.
Yeah, absolutely.
So sleep would be like my first one. What are you?
Totally. Mine would be tracking and having an amount of protein you're already used to hitting. So whether that's 100 grams, 120 grams, whatever it is. And then also already have the habit of tracking in place. It can be super annoying for sure. And we're not suggesting that you do this for the rest of your life, but when you're going into a calorie deficit, we want to have those tracking habits accurate and regular. And it would be great if you didn't already have like a really tortured relationship with your diary app, because the only time you use it is to show you what you can't have, right? That you are also in a place where you can get creative about adding in foods and making the whole experience of eating as positive as possible.
And one thing that I didn't actually expect to say, and not really one that we list as a habit, but I think something just to even bring up to yourself and to create a little bit of awareness around it, is how you feel about the scale or measurements.
Totally.
Because as you head into this like realistic timeline, you're going to also want to be able to assess your data. And part of assessing your data is confronting whether you have a tortured, toxic relationship with the scale, which you can go and listen to Peace with the Scale is a podcast episode that we have, or even measurements or even pictures. These are things you might need to like just mentally work yourself up into the fact that you are going to have to collect data of some sort, much like tracking, in order to kind of set yourself up. I'm not saying like you have to jump on the scale right away and that's not a habit, but at the same time, just creating an awareness of what a successful like weight loss phase would entail, might that actually will be a component of it too.
Absolutely. Because here's the reality of it. Losing weight is much like unrolling a roll of paper towels, like one sheet at a time. It's subtle. So you aren't yes, you may notice, but a lot of you don't. Like, you lose weight around your neck or your wrists or in really like random places a lot of times before you lose weight in your quote unquote trouble spots. So taking measurements, and I, you know, encourage you to really work on your relationship with the scale if it is kind of tortured, like it is for most women. Realize, like, weighing yourself multiple times a week, first thing in the morning before you eat or drink, but after you use the bathroom, that's going to be your most accurate weight. And taking multiple weights, you may realize, like, you know, this does just fluctuate, and it doesn't have anything to do with exactly, you know, the dinner that I ate last night or these different things, that there's, that your weight fluctuates along with lots of other things in life.
And most of you guys judge yourself off of one scale weight, and it's always on Monday after you've had a weekend, generally because you're looking for a reason to be like, well, look, I did horrible this weekend.
Yeah.
Gotta prove it to myself. So Mondays are definitely like not the weigh-in day that you should celebrate, right? Or use to, like, you know, create your whole entire week of energy out of it. So tracking your data, like Heidi was saying, and, you know, BioLane always encourages us to, like, look at it like a stock market. Mm. You're not going to, like, you're going to look for the overall trend of how your stock is doing. You're not just going to, like, pull out because, like, one day it dips a little bit, because likelihood of it going back up again is likely, but also watching the overall trend to see how you're doing is really how to know about your timeline.
Absolutely. So that means taking an average of your weekly weights and then not over-relying on any one of these different data markers that you're looking also at your measurements. Just last week, I had a client who has lost 10 pounds in a cut so far. Her scale weight jumped up 10 pounds. If she hadn't been taking measurements, she would have thought she'd lost all of her progress. But that almost her starting weight was combined with her lowest measurements overall. So really, pictures, we just can't stress the importance of that enough. So realistic assessment markers, right?
And these are also under the window in the umbrella of biofeedback tools. So yep. these are why we are considering these habits that are important, because these are also things that you're going to want to pay attention to as you are, you know, attempting a fat loss phase. So one thing that next is water.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, like, people struggle drinking water. So
I believe it.
It seems like a very, like, duh kind of thing. Like, you know, from little kids, we teach them to drink water, but being hydrated and being able to drink, you know, a substantial amount of water. I mean, the general rule of thumb is half your weight in ounces, but depending on how much you weigh, that might be too much. Really, you want to go by, like, the hydration test, which is really when you go pee. If it's, like, you know, slightly yellow, mostly clear, you're in a good place. Mm-hmm. But if it's really dark or darker than usual, amber colored even, then we definitely know that we're dehydrated. And yes, diet sodas do count towards it as well. And apparently coffee does too. So just stay hydrated. That is something that, believe it or not, people do struggle with. So that's an easy habit to kind of pick up.
Yep.
So water.
And then I think, also a self-care practice, something where you're checking in with your body, with yourself, and an outlet for stress, because definitely when you get involved in a weight loss phase, again, some of these negative physical symptoms can accumulate and really compound to, just stress you out, and stressed out bodies don't lose fat very well.
And the next thing would be steps. And so when we say steps, I think people think traditional, like, I am walking, but steps means just your overall general activity. You can use a tracker, or you can just kind of keep an awareness on your phone, set a timer to make sure that you're moving. Anytime you have a little bit of gentle energy output, that's going to also be beneficial in a fat loss phase. It doesn't always mean, like, I have to exercise 5 days a week to have the results I want. We're just looking at an overall increase in activity, which is great for cardiovascular health and overall wellness, especially bonus points if you go outside.
Mm-hmm. So those are just an example of a few habits that we'd like to see in place to make the goal of a successful calorie deficit more realistic. This is part of setting yourself up for success. If your goal is to build muscle, there's also a set of steps, similar to what we were just talking about, but you'd want to make sure that your calories are at maintenance or above. And there's a timeline there as well. While we measure fat loss in weeks, we measure muscle building in months
to years.
Yes. Agreed.
And so some of those things might be like, do I eat enough protein already? Right. Mm-hmm. Do I get enough rest recovery? Am I actually taking rest days? You know, like,
is my programming progressive overload if building muscle is my goal?
And then also like my awareness around just my overall stress levels, because, mm-hmm. you know, an elevation in stress can also impact your results too.
Yep.
So this kind of time ties into our next point, which is how much do you have to overhaul who you are to achieve these goals?
Yes.
Now there's a lot of belief out there that like who you are as you are right now is just not good enough. And so you've got to become a completely different person in order to achieve said goals. And so this kind of like checklist we just talked about a little bit with biofeedback or even with muscle building is really important for you to be able to like look at what do I need to do to accomplish these goals? And even if you're a visual person, create a to-do list or a checklist with informed scientific facts and data about it, not just like what an influencer told you need to do, like, you know, lifting your pen 15 times or like shaking it a bunch, right? To actually achieve the goal. And then look at how much you're like that already.
Mm.
If let's just say, for instance, you are naturally eating, you know, upwards of 100 grams of protein, you don't have to worry about that. That's already something that is realistically achievable for you. So then adding another habit or adding a goal on top of that will feel really seamless.
Yeah.
Now, if you're somebody who doesn't do anything, you have horrible sleep, you don't track at all, you barely get any water, you don't get any steps, you're sedentary most of the time, you're going to have a lot more to do to be able to get on the trajectory. It's just no different than packing for a trip. If you've got like, you know, your bins are ready to go and like all your camping equipment stored and like everything stashed in like an area, you can easily put it into your car, you're ready to go. But if you have to like start from scratch and like actually like go get a tent, or
mm-hmm.
see where you're even going to camp or book a campsite or make sure you have gas in your car, it's going to take a little bit longer for you to get started. And that's not to be defeating. It's just about being realistic.
Well, exactly. You can't get to where you want to go if you aren't clear about where you are. And, you know, that January 1st mentality of I'm going to start all the healthy habits on Monday, that's just a recipe for success. We want to make sure that we have as much in place and that so that, you know, especially in terms of going into a deficit, because wherever your calories are placed, there's going to be times where you're tired, where you're unmotivated, where life stresses are accumulating, and you want as many of these things on autopilot as possible. You want that bar to be at a place that, like we were saying before, any one of us can put together a super, super perfect, amazing plan. Like, I know I'll meal prep for 5 hours on Sunday and then I'll have all of my meals. But what happens if your kid has a stomach bug or you didn't have the energy to go to the grocery store or for whatever reason, Korean dramas interrupt your Sunday meal plan session? Okay. So then what are we going to do? And do you have backup plans in place, or is it just this do or die over your perfect plan? And if that doesn't happen, the rest of your week is going to suck. Or can you make scalable options for yourself? Like, okay, well, I didn't do the 5 hour meal prep, but I can look at Butter Your Macros Eats to get takeout tonight, or I can
buy some Lean Cuisines at the grocery store.
Exactly. I have options in the freezer, those kinds of things, like diversifying the ways that you can achieve goals is definitely going to help.
Well, and to the point of realistic, that's realistic. Realistic is being able to pivot when life doesn't go as planned, right?
Exactly.
And still be able to stay on track in the direction of your goals. It doesn't mean that it's going to look exactly like it, but it's able to pivot when maybe things don't go as planned is you're part of your commitment to your goals. So if you believe that like you're not enough as is, and then you have to overhaul who you are, that's already going to be like working against you and your family.
Right? Totally. Well, and just to give like a real example, like right now, I would love to be doing bodybuilding. I wish we could go back to quarantine where we had an hour and a half to 2 hours every day where we could spend in the gym. But right now I don't have that. And so right now we're doing CrossFit because it's a 60-minute workout. We can get done in the beginning of the day. And while it might not be, you know,
ideal
for muscle building or whatever, it's what's working right now.
And part of sometimes like the goals are part of just keeping up your habits.
Yeah.
I know that like sometimes people hear like sleep and protein and water and steps and mindfulness, they think it's super unsexy, but those are all the building blocks of all the goals you really, really want.
Totally.
And so sometimes just keeping the habit of moving, you know, mm-hmm. maybe you're not traditionally exercising, maybe you can't even get into a gym or you're on vacation, but you can still get some water on vacation. You can still get some sleep on vacation.
Well, absolutely. And to that point, I mean, if both of us, when we started, we were like, okay, Nat, we got to get up at 4:45 in the morning and go to CrossFit. Are you in? Whereas like when we started, it was like 10 to 15 minute YouTube videos at home.
Yeah.
Right. Like
that. Best you could do.
Exactly. But that's how we carved out a spot in our day, in our lives for working out. That's how we built a feeling of success and appreciation and confidence about it that eventually lended itself to like, absolutely, we can do that.
And it has allowed us over the last 7 years to be able to pivot realistically through our lives year round through our habits. Right? Mm-hmm. It's like, so yeah, maybe we're not tightly tracking right now, but we also know the importance of protein. So we roughly get as much as we can, right?
Yep.
Sleep, we know.
If we don't get enough at night, we try to nap or catch up on the weekends.
And the same thing goes with exercise. It's like, if it's not looking like a day mentally or physically or emotionally that we can go into the gym, we make sure that we go on a walk because being outside is recharging and has instant dopamine. So it's about giving yourself room within your realistic to-do list towards your goals, but also not realizing, like, realizing that you don't have to overhaul who you are. You just have to honor who you are.
Ooh.
Right. So let's go right into the energy that we've created these goals from.
So the from the outside, it's hard to tell what kind of feeling is driving somebody, but how the process feels to you is going to determine everything. So many of us as women have so much shame around our bodies and how our bodies look and our relationship with our bodies. And shame is what prevents you from living an intentional, examined life. So if your goals are about fixing yourself or come from a spirit of like apology that like you haven't been able to achieve what you think you should be able to achieve, though, that's the kind of energy that sets you up for unrealistic expectations, to lose your motivation and to ultimately end up defeated.
And you might not actually really be able to recognize what a fixing place looks like. So let's just talk about that for like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Fixing place is like, when I lose weight, I'll be able to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm not good enough as is. Or when I can fit into these jeans again, then I'll know that I'm okay. Or when I look like this, you know, da, 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 da. Or when I walk past the mirror and I don't go, ew, gross, then I'll know that I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. Like I need to, I must, I can't be like this anymore. Like those kinds of, yes, I'm disgusting. Like those kinds of labels and that kind of energy. Having said that, if that's where you are, that's where you are. It's similar to earlier where we were saying you have to know where you are in order to get anywhere else. If that's where you are, that comes from a place of very compromised self-esteem. I didn't know that I had low self-esteem until I was like 37. I thought I had high expectations for myself. I thought my shoulds were like, you know, trophies I was just almost able to grab, you know. It's whereas if you can't accept and love yourself as is right now, that's where we need to start. And one of the best things that you can do for yourself from this point is start making a list of things that you like about yourself, or even that you think other people might like about you. Start talking about how you feel to a trusted friend or a therapist. Shame is a social emotion, so it's created between people. It's best healed between people. But realizing that, like, just because we have over 60,000 thoughts a day, not all of them are true. And that the ones that make you feel like crap are especially not true.
And it does come down to examining your beliefs around your goals, right? If you believe that losing 15 pounds, you'll all of a sudden become a more acceptable person, we want to examine like why we believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Who's told us that? What rhetoric in your life has brought you to that conclusion? You know, if you believe that having a six pack will make you a more excellent human being, where did that belief start?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, you know, figuring out how realistic our goals are, we have to start at where these goals are born from.
Totally. Right? And if they're a set of expectations and rules that you apply to yourself that you would never apply to anybody else, then you can be pretty sure that you're coming from a shamey place about it. So paying attention to how you feel, naming your emotions, describing how the emotions feel, noticing how those emotions how you want to react to those emotions. All of that can be really, really helpful in processing through and learning how to support yourself. That doesn't necessarily mean let's just do one as an example, right? Like you, let's say you step on the scale, you see a number you don't like, you, oh, I feel disgusting. I'm so gross. I've got to lose weight. Okay. So first of all, I want you to notice that that's something that like women of all shapes and sizes, every conceivable shape and size, from the fittest you've ever seen to people that want to lose 100, 200, whatever pounds, right? Every woman has those kinds of thoughts. So realizing that just because you think it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. Noticing what is that feeling that comes up? Maybe it's disappointment. Maybe it's sadness. Maybe it's shame. Shame definitely resists being named, right? What other emotions do you think of?
I think you feel insecure. It makes you feel like you want to hide and retreat.
Yeah.
You feel embarrassed, maybe.
Totally.
Or even maybe a little bit scared that like, this is where you, like, you don't know how, you know, we hear a lot of times, like, I don't know how it got to this point. Why am I here all of a sudden? Like, it's almost like you're in awe of like the position that you put yourself in.
Oh my gosh. Totally. Right. So from that emotional place, a lot of times we want to fix it at the height of that emotion, right? Like, oh, why, what can I do so that I can fix this so that I never have to feel this way again? I've got to do something to keep, to make this emotion go away and never come back. Right. But that's actually how you keep that emotion going forever.
And you guys know, I mean, if you've ever been around like a screaming child, all of a sudden you're like, ooh, where's my bag of tricks? Like lollipop, hug, pat on the back. When all reality is they just want you to be like, hey, what's wrong?
Yeah.
You okay?
Hey, it looks like you're feeling really upset right now. Looks like you're feeling really sad. What can we do to bring, like, as an adult in the situation, you're thinking, how can I soothe, calm, reassure this child, right?
Instead of how can I fix this situation?
Exactly.
And there's two different energies behind them.
Totally, right?
Like, if your child can't feel bad because that'll make you feel bad, then we know that that's a fixing situation. But if your child can feel bad and you're like, gosh, what a bummer.
Right?
They're not feeling good. Like, why are we sad? Or like, why are we feeling mad right now, buddy?
Yes. Right? And that healing is like this healing that we're talking about sounds a lot like reparenting, just like that, where you notice, man, hey, so first of all, knowing that the scale is a trigger. So you're somewhat prepared for this emotional reaction. Right. And you notice I'm feeling embarrassed. Embarrassed feels hot. It feels up in my like face and my neck and my shoulders, maybe in my stomach. It makes me want to
throw up a little bit, cry a little bit.
It makes my face. Yeah. My husband walks by. It makes me want to rage at him or like my kid asks for help at that moment. It makes me want to be like, not now or something like that. Right. Like you're reacting in blame is a function of shame. Perfectionism is a function of shame, right? All of this energy. So noticing how you feel, describing how it feels to yourself, it's called witnessing. You're witnessing yourself have this emotional reaction. And it's going to take some creativity to know how to best support yourself in that situation. What do you need? What do you need? Do you need a hug? Do you need silence? Do you need just to look at yourself in the mirror and reassure yourself that you're okay? Do you need to do some grounding exercises? But not from the standpoint of fixing how you feel, but supporting how you feel.
And honestly, that's one of the most transformational parts of our coaching program is that we're able to have you have this moment and have your goals simultaneously, right?
Yep.
We address like why, like, what are we feeling? Like, where is this desire to lose weight coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can almost, it's like the great multitask, right? It's like, you can have your realistic to-do list at the same time you're realizing what it is that's driving you towards these goals, right? Because without realizing how realistic your goals are really never going to feel that way. They're always going to either feel too hard, too attainable, like unattainable for somebody else. This is somebody who has their act together, has their life together. I want to be this person, but I'm not, you know, I can't, or I'm not good enough. And all these shamey feelings make your realistic goals feel really unrealistic, right? Because
totally.
You feel like you're not okay enough as is. And so how do we get to a point where we can make realistic goals and feel good about them is changing the narrative of the way you see it now. Like anything, you know, I just thinking about how, like for instance, today we were listening, what song was playing, when we were exercising.
Oh,
okay. Anyways,
Third Eye Blind.
Yeah. You know, that when you hear a song that you haven't heard in a million years and it all of a sudden it starts playing again, and you know, all the words, right? It's the same thing with the things we tell ourselves over and over and over again.
Oh my gosh. It's so true.
It's like all of a sudden you're like, why do I know the words to all that song? It's like the same because you've heard it a million times. And the same thing goes with your thoughts. If you're telling yourself you're disgusting all day long, that's going to be a very recurring thought, like automatically, whenever something brings up whenever something comes up for you. And so by changing that narrative, and it is possible, right? Like picking a different song, picking a different way to like the way you think and reframe your goals is, have you ever tried saying like, I would really like to lose weight and I'm excited to see where this will go. Like, yeah. I believe I can do it.
Yep. And how does that thought feel? Like what emotions come with that? Like, feeling optimistic, confident, excited. Like if our thoughts create our feelings create our actions, and our actions create our results. Right. So if we're allowing ourselves to feel negative emotion and support ourselves in it, just like we're soothing a child, then when we're more, you know, as we calm ourselves down, we can move to a more intentional place. Hey, I'm a good person. I deserve happiness just like anybody else. I can support myself in this endeavor. That's actually really hard sometimes, right? It's not, sometimes we, shame makes it seem like everything should already be done and it shouldn't be this hard and we shouldn't feel this way and blah, blah, blah. But really paying attention to yourself and honoring your needs, whether that's feeding yourself when you're hungry or supporting yourself in negative emotion, realizing that you need your own support in order to get your realistic goals is really what we're trying to communicate.
And then along with that, and those good feelings, those good vibes, come those cheers and milestones and those non-scale victories that are so essential to actually making your goal feel good.
Yeah.
Nobody is just like trucking along and all of a sudden, like, you know, they get to their goal and they're like, that feels great. It's the process along the way that continues helping you pursue that pattern and pursue that pathway to be able to reach it.
Absolutely. Research shows that it's actually not the getting of the goal, but it's the pursuit of the goal that gives us all our happiness. So if you're not, you're robbing yourself of some really like confidence building opportunities if the process feels horrible. Because when the process feels horrible, the finish line will keep getting pushed out and pushed out and pushed out.
And as long as your wants are realistic, right? Like, I mean, I guess I could say that, like, I want to be like, you know, 6 feet tall, not super realistic, right? Mm-hmm. But kind of to the beginning where I was talking about how, like, you know, oh gosh, I would really love a PhD. It's not realistic. Yeah. If I really wanted it, I could. I could go back to school today, map it out, spend.
You'd have to carve out a space in your life for it.
Spend the next decade going to school. Like, is it possible? For sure. Is it realistic for where I'm at right now in my life? Probably not. Mm-hmm. And there's also some comfort in looking at your goals and being like, I like the idea of that, but not right now.
Yep. Absolutely.
So all this to say, have your own back and take the time. You owe it to your goals to be honest with yourself, but all and kind to yourself about what you want and the reasons you want it.
Whew, you made it. The butter dish didn't melt your face.
Thanks so much for hanging with us. If you enjoy that episode, we'd love it if you would subscribe, share it to your social media, or leave a comment. That all really helps, so the kids say. If you want to find us, you can find us at Instagram at Butter Your Macros.
On the web at butteryourmacros.com.
Twitter and TikTok at What's Up Butters. And we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks.